guaranteed to happen in the way we think it should, should it? The title of my sermon today is Tomorrow May Not Be. Tomorrow may not be. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us, is it? Things can happen in the twinkling of an eye, a split second. Our lives can be changed forever, bro. How prepared? How prepared are we for tomorrow for things to change, brother, in this world? Are you ready for that? This is what this day is all about, brother. This should be our main focus and the reason we come each holy day service, Sabbath service, and each special holy day. Today, I want to look at this coming year. I want to look at what's coming at us this coming year, brother. Things are going to change. Let's go over how we can live every day and prepare for the wonderful world tomorrow that will begin on the Day of Trumpets in the future, brother. We can begin by living the best spiritual and the physical life we can today. Not brag about what we're going to be doing tomorrow, because, brethren, tomorrow may not be. Come with me to James 4, brethren. James 4. Come with me to James 4. I think I'll just, I have it all wrote out, so I'll just do that. James 4, and let's look at verse 13 through 17. And I'll read this from the Living Bible translation. James 4, verse 13 through 17, it says, "Look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to such and such a town, stay there for a year, and open up a thriving business. How do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? For the length of your life is uncertain as the morning fog. Now you see it, soon it is gone." Verse 15. What you ought to say is that if the Lord wants us to, we shall live and do this or that. Brethren, I'm from the hills in Missouri, and there's a saying there that says, God willing, the creek don't rise. It's true, brethren. A lot of people live in the country, and you can't get out when the creek's out. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. It says, "Otherwise, you'll be bragging about your own plans, and such self-confidence never pleases God. Remember, too, that knowing what is right to do and not doing it, it is sin." Brother, let's talk about you and I, how we can prepare ourselves for the Feast of Trumpets in the future when our elder brother, Jesus Christ, returns to this earth and establish God's kingdom and church here forever, brother, right here on earth, not in heaven, right here on earth. We know that if we're still physically alive on that day and still on track as Christians should be, getting ready for the return and what we have prepared for a long time, then we'll be turned into spirit beings and rise up in the air to meet Him. Are you ready for that, brother? Are you ready? And if we're asleep with the rest of the saints, then we'll be resurrected as spirit beings and meet Him in the air. So it's kind of a win-win, right? Well, it could be if, there's that little word if. If we have lived the best Christian life that we could have and prepared ourselves for, brethren. And just like we read in James 4, verse 17, it says, "Remember, too, that knowing what is right to do and not doing it is sin." And we know what is right and keep doing it, like keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. And we also know that when something is wrong and do it, brethren, it's sin. And we go ahead and do it. This holy day begins the fall holy day season that God had to reteach to the children of Israel after Moses led them out of Egypt. But besides announcing the arrival of the seventh month and introducing the holy days, the Feast of Trumpets had a meaning on its own, brethren. Let's look at how we are to prepare ourselves for this meaning of this holy day, how we're to celebrate it today and look forward for it very soon, brethren. It will be here before you know it. in our Bible, especially in the passages that talk about prophecy. It tells us to obey God, have faith, and watch certain world conditions. Things are changing, ain't they, brother? Let's look at some of those scriptures explaining what we're to be watching for and what to do, brother. Like I said, things might change a lot this year. Matthew 24. Come with me to Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 3 through 14. Might put a marker here. We'll be back and forth. But a lot here in Matthew today. Matthew 24, verse 3 through 14, says, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, saying privately, Tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" Brethren, disciples wanted to know if he was coming back in their lifetime. Instead of telling them a direct answer, Jesus told them a prophecy. Brethren, it's meant for us today too. The end time church. Let's read verse 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" It's interesting, if you go on Messiah's claimants, there is hundreds and hundreds of people have claimed to be Jesus Christ, brethren. It's amazing. This was meant for the church today, brethren. We have to be very careful not to follow false ministers or false doctrines. And I could say, also, not to follow someone that knows everything. That will just tell you everything. Don't follow them, brethren. Look for yourself. Look for yourself. Find the truth. Let's go on now, verse 6 through 8. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Isn't that interesting, that last part right there? "But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Brother, this prophecy is from Jesus Christ, own lips to his beloved disciples while they are on the Mount of Olives. These verses list things we're to watch for, brethren, me and you, such as war between nations and wars going on inside a nation, between rival military or political groups, and that's getting very strong. There are so many wars going on now, right now, brethren, throughout this world. It is so hard to keep track of how many people have been killed every day. Because the numbers keep climbing, the war keeps intensifying. That's sad. That's sad, brother. Yet our Bible states in places Matthew 24, verse 8, that these things are only the beginning of sorrows. Like a woman in labor, brother, these things will happen more and more and become more intense the closer we get to the end, brother. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Why does it say that there, brethren? Why does it say, "and then the end will come"? Well, brethren, these two verses haven't been fulfilled yet. They have not. Because we're still here. We're still here as physical human beings, and we're still helping the church preach the gospel and be a witness to this world. Brother, I want to look at Jerusalem right now. Let's go look a little bit at Jerusalem, God's holy city. God, the creator of the universe, still loves Jerusalem, and he calls it his holy city. And the Jews are his people scattered all over this world. Brennan, he has great plans in the future for this city, his church, and all of mankind. Luke 21. Come with me there, please. Luke 21, verse 20 through 24. It says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know its destruction is near. Then let those who are in Judea..." Well, brethren, we know from Bible commentaries that Judea is referring to the Jewish land of Palestine, Galilee, and Samaria. Flee, and then it says, flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. Well, here's a little bit of history and state about Jerusalem. It was first founded and built around 3000 BC. And is therefore the oldest city in the world that still has living people in it today, brother. It has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times, brother. All this has happened in a city. It's only 48.32 square miles, brother. And it's surrounded by countries and people that don't like it none. They don't like Jerusalem, brother, because they know what's going to happen there. And we can tell from maps of Judea, Israel, and Jerusalem that there's mountains both on the north side of Jerusalem, north and the south side of Jerusalem. The Salt Sea is located to the east, and the Great Sea, or the Mediterranean Sea, is off the west coast. So, brother, that just leaves north and south for people to flee from Jerusalem. Let's read one more scripture, back to Matthew. Matthew 24, verse 15 and 16. Matthew 24, verse 15 and 16, and there it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then it says, whoever reads, let him understand. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. How are they going to flee, brother? From the north and the south. The set of scripture in Matthew 24 talks about a form of a pagan idol, or an idol of worship that will be put up in Jerusalem in the future, brother. You need to keep an eye on that. And this is quoting Daniel 11, verse 30. And while some historians believe this happened before in the Jewish temple, before it was destroyed in 70 AD, well, brother, others say that's not possible, because there's only a small Jewish presence in Judea and Jerusalem, not enough to rebuild the temple and a nation. Well, brethren, it wasn't until the nation of Israel was regathered and reestablished in 1948. This prophecy has been coming closer to being fulfilled, brother. That's why you need to watch that. A nation of people that scattered all over this world was rebuilt on its own soil. A nation that the world has not seen for more than 2,000 years. A nation that several nations still refuse to recognize even today, and still want to destroy this place. But they can't, brother, because God won't let them. Let's turn in the Revelation now, brother. Revelation 3, verse 12. Well, actually 7. Let's read Revelation 3, verse 7 through 13. This is to the Philadelphia church, that if they overcome and remain faithful to the end here. Revelation 3, and let's read verse 12. It says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Brother, this is why we need to overcome and never give up this coming year. Don't give up, brother, no matter what comes at you. Satan can come in there like a split second and take everything away from you, brother. This new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven, and God will invite the faithful and those who have overcome to be part of his holy city. And he will write his new name on them, brethren. That is you, brethren. Revelation 21. Let's read verse 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. He got rid of it, brother. He's going to get rid of that. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among immortals. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things has passed away. Brethren, this new Jerusalem will have a new world government. There won't be no more pain. New government, no more sickness of this world, brethren. No more sickness. So I hope this helps us notice some of the things we could be watching and waiting for, brethren, this coming year. But brethren, unless we fortify and strengthen our relationship with God this coming year, the watchman tolls in vain. Brethren, because we're going to be held at a much higher standard, we'll need more faith, more courage, and obedience, brethren, this coming year, than the Israelites displayed during the Exodus from physical Egypt, brethren. Why is that, we may ask? Because, brethren, we have God's Holy Spirit. We have God's Holy Spirit, and we're called, each one of you, for a purpose. Each one of you. Some people have asked me, how am I going to be a teacher? How am I going to do this or that? God is going to train you and give you more spirit to learn that. Brother, each one of us are going to through our spiritual journey. Each one will go through that. In every sense of the word, from growing, overcoming, in this Satan-filled world, to believe that God can perform such miracles if necessary, to prolong and protect our lives, brethren, and those of our families too, and church, brethren, to resurrect us and our loved ones at just the right time, brethren. Are we ready for that journey, brethren? It's coming. Are we prepared to see and experience the things that have yet to happen around this world? Or do we just want to throw our hands up in the air and call it quits? I'm through with that. One of the major problems or stumble block is that, brethren, we don't know the exact date and the time that we'll be leaving on that journey yet. And yet, we still need to be prepared, brethren, and willing to leave at a moment's notice to meet Jesus Christ. Being spiritual prepared is about being sure of the strength and foundation of our beliefs, brethren, and values. In other words, how strong is our faith? How strong is our faith? Me? You? How strong is that? And get one little thing upset you and destroy you, and you leave. Leave the church, and you go away. Time will come, brethren, in which everything we know could be tested. We should be answering that question in our mind, brethren, before we're put to that test. Our first priority should be able to seek God's counsel. Go to God. Ask him for help. So, brethren, let's look now on how we prepare ourselves and never give up this coming year, brethren. We have 7 points here. First one is, pray for godly wisdom daily, brethren. Pray for godly wisdom daily. By praying daily and staying close to God and obeying him this coming year, brethren, we begin to have a great game plan that can withstand any trial or challenge that comes each one of us and want to destroy us. And we know where that wisdom comes from, don't we? God. We know we must stay close to God. Hold fast to our crown, brethren. Your crown. To be counted worthy, escape all things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready for that? Luke 21. Luke 21, let's read 34 through 36. I'll read this from the Easy Read version. Luke 21, verse 34 through 36 says, be careful not to spend your time having parties getting drunk, or worrying about this life, brother. I have a question. How many of us worry about everything? I mean everything. Why don't we go to God and put it in His hands, brother? For His help to take care of it for you. That's what He's there for. Verse 35. It will come as a surprise to everyone on earth. So be ready all the time, it says. Pray that you will be able to get through all the things that will happen and stand safe before the Son of Man. When we think of that great tribulation, brethren, do we think about it and get scared, like I was saying? Do we say we do not want to go through that? Or do we think about getting through it, helping others? Helping others, brethren. And looking forward to meet Jesus Christ return to this earth, brethren. You know why? Because you'll be serving. You'll be teaching. You'll be helping. Think about this, brethren. I had a minister told me once, he said the tribulation could be 3.5 years of final training or torture. Depends on how we look at it and react to it, brother. Depends on how we look at it. We know it's coming, and hopefully by the time it occurs, God will be able to say to us what is written in Revelation 3, verse 10. Revelation 3, verse 10 from the World English Bible says, "Because you've kept my commandments to endure, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Isn't that interesting? It's a test for those on earth, brethren. And if we've already been obeying Him, think about it. We might not have to go through the test of that tribulation, brethren. We might get to skip that horrible and final test. But you got to be obedient, brethren, stay and remain faithful to God. Obey Him. Number two. Eyes to watch therefore and eyes to watch with. What's that mean, brother? Eyes to watch therefore and eyes to watch with. Have an idea of what's coming, brother, and how to prepare for it. In other words, don't bury your head in the sand. Matthew 24, verse 36 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Verse 37 says, "But as the days of Noah's were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." God told Noah, brethren, what was going to happen and what he and his family were supposed to do. You think He'll do that to you, brethren? God even told Noah when to get his family in the ark secure before the flood began. Verse 38 and 39 says, "For in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, getting married, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And said, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Let's drop down to verse 42 through 44 now. It says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And it says, "Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come in, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you ought to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect." Brother, these scriptures are trying to show us that our attitude is everything. Through obedience, brother, obeying God. And haven't we been tested these past 2 years with the virus? Everything going on, brother, and all the sickness we all have. Whether we keep obeying and serving God each and every day, while the rest of this people in the world go on doing ungodly things every day, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Their eyes are blind. They can't hear, and they can't understand the truth, brethren, because God's not calling and choosing them yet. Satan is causing them to be blind right now, brethren, but after Satan is bound and put away, how many of us are looking forward to that? Man, their eyes will be open. Brethren, we're going to celebrate that in 9 days. Mankind will be able to be called and have their minds open to the knowledge and truth of living God's way of life. We won't have somebody out there yelling at us just going down the street. God expects his children to be strong and good courage, brother. That's you. He expects us to hold fast, overcome, and endure. Endure to the end. He also expects us to be attentive and watch the signs of the times while not being a part of this world, brother. Watch what's going on out there. And it will change. It will change. God is still telling his church, brethren, there's time to repent and turn back to him. He will not blot out their names from the book of life, brethren. That's a great and loving God and a forgiving God, brethren. Let's look at number 3 now. Let's use the fruits of the Holy Spirit, brethren, constantly, every day. And especially love. That's the greatest. Love. We've been told through sermons, articles, and even the broadcast, we must have the fruits of the Holy Spirit to grow and overcome in this physical world in order to qualify, brethren, for the world tomorrow. The fruits are listed in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Brethren, we know the greatest of these is love. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. We've been warned, upcoming trials and our own love for our greater God, brethren. Brethren, our trials may be tested in a way that we cannot see coming this coming year. Or expect. We must have complete faith in God, brethren. He's in charge. He's always there, brethren. God is always there. Sometimes we get so upset, we don't think he's there. He's there. You don't got to turn there, but Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, stress, persecution, famine, nakedness, pearl, or sword? See, brethren, if we can't love our physical neighbors right now, how are we going to be able to love and rule as teachers, priests, and kings in the world tomorrow? Love. Love, brethren. We can't love each other in God's church, brethren, and not tear each other apart, too. We've got to have more love. Leave that world out there. Love each other, what we should do. Number four. Put on the spiritual armor of God daily, brethren. Put on the spiritual armor of God daily. The spiritual armor is very important to defend ourselves, brethren, against Satan, because you can't see him, brother. He can come at you in a split second. Ephesians 6. Let's look at verse 10 here. Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's drop down to verse 16 and 17 now to save time. Verse 16, above all, take the shield of the faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one and the trials coming at you, brother. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in verse 15, could be read to mean that we should be ready to share the gospel of peace with others, brother. But verse 16 means that we need to still tell others about our faith and beliefs that we have, especially when they asked us, brother. It's necessary to put on that armor every morning, pray about it to God before you walk out that door. Number 5, don't forget to charge your spiritual light every day. Don't forget to charge your spiritual life. Even in bad times, brethren, we can still let our spiritual light shine and praise God and be an example to others. Some of us sitting here today may be going through severe trials, brethren. Show your spirit. Lift them up, brethren. Help them. Help them. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, brethren. Let's jump to number 6. Number 6, brethren. To save time here. Always have the attitude of the servant, brethren. Always have an attitude of a servant. Because in the world tomorrow, brethren, that's what you're going to be, as a servant. You're going to be a teacher. You're going to be helping. We are to keep obeying and serving God no matter what kind of place we find ourselves in, brethren. And what crisis we're facing, we still must be serving God as people. And just not on the Sabbath day either, brethren. Throughout the week. Maybe it's just a phone call to see how someone's doing. Or if they need anything, brethren. Or send a get well card to one of your brothers and sisters who might be doing well. Lift them up. Show your light. Okay, number 7. We'll jump ahead here. Trying to get finished. Number 7 is probably the hardest item of all, brother, and it's also the most important. Do not give up our spiritual life or calling this coming year. Don't give up our spiritual life or calling this year, brother, no matter what. Like I've said, Satan can come in there and destroy you in a second. Brother, and even these things happen in the New Testament time. Our Bible tells us horrible things are going to happen again. In order for prophecy to be fulfilled. And to give human beings another opportunity to repent and turn back to God before it's too late, brother. Let's finish up in our faith chapter. What's our faith chapter, brother? Just come with me to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Come with me there. Here we can read how other Christians died in the faith while they served God, brother. Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 40. It says, there were women who loved... Oh, I'm sorry, I'll read this from the Easy Read. Sorry, I read a lot of different translations. Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 40. There were women who lost loved ones, but got back when they were raised from death. Others were tortured, but refused to accept their freedom. They did this so they could be raised from death to a better life. Verse 38. The world was not good enough for these great people. They had to wander in the desert and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. God was pleased with all of them because of their faith. But not one of them received God's great promise. Verse 40, brethren. God planned something better for us. He wanted to make us perfect, of course. He wanted these great people to be made perfect too. But not before all could enjoy the blessings together. These scriptures give us a lot to think about, brethren, don't they?
The purpose of these scriptures, brethren, is to inspire us to action, faith, and want to obey and serve God, brethren, with all our might and zeal this coming year. Hopefully we compare ourselves for the Day of Trumpets when Jesus Christ does return to this earth. And I'm not no predictor, but brethren, all you got to do is look at this world. It's coming. So no matter where we are when that seventh trumpet goes off or what physical condition we may all be in, we will know that Jesus Christ will be returning to this earth and establish God's kingdom, world, and church. And I hope we all can say, hallelujah. Because the sickness of this world is gone. And we should be reading our Bibles, watching world events this coming year, holding fast to the truth we've all been taught all these years, brethren. Because, brethren, tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us, not one of us. On the day of trumpets in the near future, the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth, brethren, it will depend on how we lived our lives, both physically and spiritually, right now. Right now, brother. And only God knows how that day will turn out for us. That will truly be a great day. And something to look forward to, brother. May God hurry that day.